Good evening, viewers. Welcome to another edition of Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga. This is episode 188. Today, we're going to discuss about the G20 meeting that's happening in New Delhi. Everybody knows that India is the host for G20 this year. So the meetings are all over the place. But we're going to focus on the major ones, basically, regarding foreign policy and other critical issues. We have with us today Dr. Swami, Arvind Chaturvedi, and Shri Iyer. Shri Iyer is our guest today. So, Dr. Swami, we're just going to jump right into the subject. So, we have had these meetings for a while. People are coming in and going, and you know, so it's what has really transpired, and why is this? It appears to be it's more because not many statements are coming. There are reports that India is not making statements regarding supporting Ukraine, but they're either saying neutral or. So, can you give us a highlight as to what your opinion on is this outcome of the current G20 meeting?
Well, this was a session that was for ministers of two portfolios. One was finance and the other was external affairs. So the finance meeting of finance ministers of G20 countries, which includes America also, and it also includes China and of course Russia, India, most of the big countries are in it. And the first meeting took place in Bangalore, and they could not reach a conclusion on even on the finance issue. Then the matter came to Delhi, and Delhi there were some snafus in the beginning because it was planned that Modi will have a Modi government would have a massive hotel constructed in Pragati Maidan, but they couldn't complete it. So they had to move everybody into Taj. I don't know why Taj. It could have been Ashoka, but I don't know. Anyway, there were a lot of snafus to begin with. But in the end, the question came that the resolution to be passed on behalf of G20, and that usually is based on concessional thing, but both the United States and of course the allies of the United States and China and its junior partner Russia, they were emphatic that their point of view must become on and the question of Ukraine. And that is what really I think, because if you're going to have a resolution on behalf of G20, it has to be a consensus one. And there was no consensus. And because of the lack of consensus, it was decided that India as a host and Jai Shankar, because it was foreign ministers who were there. So as a foreign minister of India, he then addressed the meeting of the conference was over to say that no agreement could be reached, but these are the good things that we did, you know, the usual spin that external affairs ministers are prone to do. So it was a disaster. Why? Because originally, both abroad and within India, it was being projected as the rise of Modi as a Vishwa Guru or whatever. And the whole thing was built on that. But in the end, it became a fiasco. And that fiasco is not going to be resolved easily, because there is no doubt that a democratic country called Ukraine is getting the bashing, which of course they are valiantly fighting back, and they have not yielded, and 1 year has gone by, and a lot of casualties, but they are sticking it out. Of course, they're getting some weapons from the Western world, but that's not the same thing of being brave and facing all these heavy weapons which the Russians are using against them. So perhaps the United States come to the conclusion, now this Ukraine bashing must stop. And therefore, they took a hard line. And the problem was that India is a member of both organizations, one set up by the Chinese, which is sometimes called BRICS, sometimes called SCO, And the other is Quad. And surprisingly, Modi went to both. And he said, he said two things. What was to be said in Quad, he said there in line with the others, and the same way with the Chinese and the Russians. So I think we have come out pretty badly on that. This is my opinion. I would like to hear both Professor Chaturvedi and, of course, our esteemed guest, P. Gurus, as he's popularly known, Sri Iyer. Let's have the full-fledged debate. I would like to say one thing, that it's very extraordinary that neither the finance minister nor the external affairs minister was able to get a consensus. And the consensus was both times. In the finance ministry also, they said the economy is being ruined because of Ukraine. So Ukraine became, and Ukraine is a democratic country, and it's a bit embarrassing for us to stick it out on behalf of two dictatorships, a junior partner of dictatorship of Russia and a fierce dragon dictatorship of China. And we have been floating between the two. It has not created an impression that we are a world power status. I think we have suffered heavily on this. Now, the question which I would pose before handing it over is, you see, time has really come with this Ukraine business, because Putin now can't back off, because he will be finished in Russia. And if he continues to move this way, he's not going to win, because the Americans are going to, and the Westerners, their Western nations are going to help Ukraine. And there are a lot of ex-soldiers from Europe and the United States in particular, who are now going in joining with the Ukrainians. So therefore, it's not that the Ukrainians are losing, but they're also gaining extra population from the well-trained retired officers and soldiers of these Western countries. So this war is not going to get over. And Putin has to withdraw, and he's not willing to withdraw. And if he withdraws, he will probably suffer an assassination in his own country. The Chinese couldn't care less if Putin dies or not, because Chinese now want only two countries in the whole world, one the United States, the other is China. They don't even want India to come up. And the way they are behaving with India, where they openly, bluntly told Mr. Jaishankar, you should have walked out of the meeting. Mr. Jaishankar had a one-to-one meeting with the Chinese. The Chinese said, don't talk about the border and what we have captured and what we have not captured, etc. Let's talk about issues, international issues. And this man lumped it. Our land has been taken over. We are still not admitting it. But about, 20,000 2,000 to 4,000 square kilometers of land has been grabbed on our side of the LAC. And LAC was an arbitrary line drawn so that we can have peace and then negotiate. Otherwise, on the Chinese side of the LAC is Aksai Chin, which is Indian territory. So it's not with us. It's not a dispute at the border. It's a dispute of vast areas. So we came out very pretty badly on that. And so what I would say is, India has now reached a situation, the world has now reached a situation, where India has to make a choice. Either you go with the Chinese and become their junior partner, or you join with Quad and say, we'll fix China. India has the manpower, the Chinese, Americans have the firepower. And so the two of us coming together would be a major threat for China. Russia is going to be no help to China. So I think this China menace has to be dealt with. And India must make this choice. And if India makes the wrong choice, we are going to be in trouble. So over to Sri Iyer and Professor Chaturvedi. And then I would like to hear, we all would like to hear from both of them. their wise counsel on this matter.
Namaskar to all our VHS viewers and also P-Guru's viewers. We are also beaming it on P-Guru's channels. Dr. Swami, it's always a pleasure to be on VHS, and I see such rich exchange of ideas and thoughts. I would like to begin by trying to answer your question, sir. Today, the new foreign policy norm is two words, strategic ambiguity. Everybody is talking war and peace at the same time. And this you are going to see again and again being reflected by country after country. And this is just my observation, sir. I have a small slideshow to present as to what I think this G20 has achieved for India. If with your permission, can I?
There you go. Go ahead.
Yeah. Dr. Swami, look at the logo. Look at the logo from a villager's perspective, because this logo is going to be shown to every village in India. Even Tamil Nadu, even in the most rabid anti-BJP element, they'll see the logo. You see a tamarai. You see a lotus. See, Modi has managed to market his party even in a G20 platform, sir. We have to at least tip our hat that this guy had the vision. Let's say, see, everything we blame him, let's also blame him for this. He got his own party logo into it. I'm just making a broad statement that the whole world now suddenly sees, oh my goodness, there is a lotus here. So he is looking at, what do I get from the optics of this whole event?
It's orange and green. So that's the flag of the BJP.
Dr. Swami, it's also very secular.
It's also very secular. So let me show you the next slide. It gets even more interesting. Dr. Swami, this is San Francisco. This is a place called Chinatown. This is where China, the Chinese settlers came in the mid-19th century. They were interested with putting dynamites when they were trying to connect the railroad from East Coast to West Coast, because they were small, quick, and nimble, and they could run fast enough from the dynamite before they exploded. So this area, if you look at that building I've taken a picture of, it is the US government building, because it's the United States Post Office building. And you see, if you go observe closely, you'll see the US flag on the right at the middle of the top. There's a US flag flying. But on the side, you see the Chinese CCP flag also flying. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? This is in the middle of San Francisco, where everybody is watching this. This is the downtown San Francisco. People are, China is able to get away by putting its flag. In that street, sir, there are 100 houses. 95 have this red flag. Only 5 are having Taiwan flag. See, what I'm trying to say is there's a charm offensive going on. Either that or somehow they have managed to persuade everyone that CCP is the right thing. These are settlers 150 years old. They think that CCP flag flying is good. Anyway, I'm just giving you a contrast. At least India has not fallen this low. I don't think there's any Indian government building where they are going to fly the CCP flag. So next slide, please. In my 30 years, I have never seen the United States government officials reach out to the public and say that this is what we are doing for the Indian diaspora. There was a meeting on the 21st of February. There were two government officials, Deputy Assistant Secretary of South and Central Asia, Nancy Jackson, and Deputy Assistant Secretary of Consular Affairs, Julie Stubbs. So they came and met with us. There was a press conference. And I'm going to even show the lighting of the land. This is just to...
Wow.
There they are. You can see them lighting the lamps.
If you press this thing, yeah, it's very safe, but it takes a little bit to light the lamp. Okay.
All right. So I should try, huh?
Okay. I'm stopping now. So essentially what they said, I'm going to recap. Why I'm saying all this is, you'll understand why I'm saying this. They said that there are going to be people attending the G20. And Nancy said 250 different cities in India are going to be touched upon in terms of where all the meetings are being held. I think as a country, many of the Americans are now seeing India slightly differently. So, oh my goodness, there are so many cities. We all thought that it was New Delhi or Mumbai or few cities. But there is that outreach. And how was that possible that India can even afford to host it in the smaller cities? Modi started a scheme called Udaan about 6-7 years ago, sir. With that, now you have airports, well-built airports, even in a smaller cities. And that makes it possible for you to be able to host some of these events, because this will be like 10 people, 12 people, that sort of stuff, or 20 people maybe. The reason I'm saying this is India has quietly done a bit of groundwork for this event from many years ago. And at least they are able to showcase all this stuff. And in that meeting, the press person told that there were a couple of things that they have made easy for Indian diaspora settled in the United States. Previously, if you are on an H-1 and you lost your job, you had to get another job in 60 days or you had to leave the country. That 60 days now has changed to 180 days. Not only that, you can renew your visa to a new company H-1, staying in the United States itself, before you have to leave the country, go to another country and get back. They made that easy. Third, to make it easy for the students to get visa in a timely manner, you can now not only apply for visa in the big centers in India, you can also apply for a student visa in cities like Bangkok, Singapore, all the neighboring cities, in neighboring countries, you can go and apply there. So the United States has made it easier. So everybody was vilifying one person in the State Department saying, this person has it out for us. They deliberately made it late. Whatever it is, yes, there was some deliberation. Maybe there was some politics. But at least now they're trying to set right the situation. And as far as the two meetings are concerned, finance ministers meeting and now the foreign affairs ministers meeting, Dr. Swamy, in the previous G20 meeting in Indonesia also, there was no communique, no agreement. And therefore, the bar has been set very low, sir. Having no agreement, having no communique issued has now become the par for the course. And, you know, we have to see if something beyond this will happen in any one of the other meetings, at which time I'm sure the Modi government will take credit and say, we got this thing about. To me, Dr. Swamy, yes, there is not much happening. Yes, India is not making its stance clear. That is, again, back to that strategic ambiguity, Dr. Swamy. You have also, I don't know how much you've been following US politics. Biden will say one thing, Blinken will say the opposite. So now this is about China. So they are confused because they said, the Chinese are saying, we are the ones who used to always confuse the others. Now they are also confusing us. So this game is now being played by many countries. Take Turkey, for example, Dr. Swamy. They received the aid from India with open arms. The people are hugging Indian army people. And then yesterday they go back to their, it's like the dog, you know, tail being twisted again. They again vote against India. So what is one to make of it? This is this thing about strategic ambiguity. And unfortunately, the takeaway is that somehow, somewhere, somebody says, okay, let's not let India get all the credit. Let's ding them a little bit. So you saw that one. The other one was, there was in Geneva, there were a lot of posters being put up on against India. The caste discrimination has been passed in Seattle Council. Next up is San Francisco. A lot of battles going on here. So I am in the thick of all this. I'm just saying all these things to tell you that 2024, people are obsessed that they have to somehow put, you know, hurdles in the way of a possible hat trick by Modi. And this is irrational, you know, thinking on part of some of these people. They will hurt their own interests if a motley crew of the opposition comes to power. They're you know, each one is like Navagraha, sir, each one looking here, there. They have to at least start speaking in one voice now. They are not doing that. So what the takeaway from all this is, G20 is going to be appealing to some people where they'll go back and say, look, we did this, we did that. But there has to be some tangible output. I think we'll have to wait and see. There are more meetings coming down the pipeline. There's also a state visit planned of Modi to America, most likely in just around the UNGA timeframe. But that's a state visit. So he will be given complete state honors and so on and so forth, addressing probably both the Congress and Senate. So things are happening in terms of what India would like to do. The G20 is essentially, in my opinion, it's eye candy. It looks nice. There's also this Raisina Hill dialogue going on simultaneously. There also, there's a lighthouse logo that is being lighting up things. it's a charm offensive right now. It, who's doing the offensive? I don't know. I think India is also doing it, but the other countries also are doing the same thing, because I have never heard so many people talk about this in the United States. In United States, they don't usually talk about India, but now at least there is that grudging admiration that these guys are now becoming big. That's my two cents, sir.
Yes.
Arvindji, you have. Yeah. We need one more view from your side.
Yeah. When this conference was organized and India took the leadership in December 2022, we knew that this kind of situation will be faced when we meet in Delhi, whether it is the finance minister's meeting or it is the foreign minister's meeting, or the meeting which is going to take place, summit which is going to take place in September. There will be no consensus unless the Russia-Ukraine war comes to an end, which we cannot really predict at this moment in time. But even at the time of Bali meeting in December last year, the confrontation between Russia and Ukraine was going on, and therefore similar confrontation was seen or observed even in the G20 meeting there. And therefore, it was expected that in the ministers' conferences in Bangalore and Delhi, there will be no consensus. And before the this program, we were talking about the whether there was a joint communique issued by the member countries. And we've seen there's no joint communique. However, our Indian Foreign Minister, Mr. Jaishankar, has issued a summary, which is called the Chair's summary. And he has mentioned very briefly about the mismatch between the opinion of different countries. What he says is, the war in Ukraine has further adversely impacted the global economy. We all know it. There's nothing great about it. There was a discussion on this issue, and we knew what is the outcome of discussion. So he says, we reiterated our national position as expressed in other fora, including the UN Security Council and UN General Assembly, by a resolution by this. And then ultimately it comes to saying, the aggression by Russian Federation against Ukraine and demands its complete and unconditional withdrawal from the territory of Ukraine. This is significant. This line which he adds here, which has not been said by either Jaishankar or by Narendra Modi himself ever in last 1 year. So I think if we look at it from the positive points of view, what has emerged, I think this is one significant thing that India has said, that they urge the withdrawal from the Russia. Of course, they have not sided either with Ukraine openly or with Russia as he has been doing in earlier forum. So maybe this is a shift towards, or maybe marginal shift towards neutrality, I would say.
May I add, the chair, Mr. Ramesh, may I add a few points here?
Yes, sir, go ahead. Yeah. This is an open debate. So, I mean, this is not a normal format. So, it's an open debate format.
Okay. See, first of all, Shri Iyer would acknowledge that I also have some knowledge, personal knowledge of America. I was there for, I mean, I've been in and out of America for many years. I got a PhD from there. So I have a distinct sense based on talking to people, and maybe I'll have a better sense in this May. I'm going, middle of May, I've been invited to address a few meetings in the United States. So I might go for that and then come back with a better understanding. But I get the feeling that the Americans are consciously making a distinction between the Indian people and Mr. Modi. Because the media, New York Times, Washington Post, today's Wall Street Journal, they are hammering Modi left, right, and center, you see. Therefore, I would you forgot to mention that Sikh gentleman of Indian origin has now been made president of the World Bank.
Banga,
yes. And we Indians could not make one, but the Americans, of course, have the vote. So they made an Indian. There's some Indian who has also been nominated to, I think, the Treasury or something like that. So there are lots of Indians who are second generation Indians, born Americans, and Americanized completely. Of course, if a Sikh can still have a beard and a pagri, that means, you know, still holding on to his heritage. But the fact is that this this respect for Indians as opposed to Indian government, that distinction, I think we should make at this stage. Second is, why is it that, the Indian government may have come a little distance, as Arvind just now pointed out about Ukraine. Why is it that India did not have one of our delegates say that the Chinese should vacate Indian territory? And after all, they have occupied since 2020 about 2,000 square kilometers. But Indian government doesn't admit to it. And Mr. Foreign Minister Jai Shankar says, China is a big economy. We are only a small economy. How we can fight them? Say, we were the poorest country in the world when we fought the British. And the Vietnamese were absolutely destructed completely by the Americans, but they defeated the Americans. And they defeated Deng Xiaoping's China also. You know that China had invaded in 1979 Vietnam, and the Vietnam defeated them, and they had to leave. The Chinese had to leave. So, this is a kind of a psyche that we have. We don't mention our interests where we should have. I think in this, I hope when he goes to the UN, he's asked to come to Washington. Of course, he has to be given state. He can't go as a tourist, so they have to declare him as a state guest. And let him say very frankly there, which will be very pleasing to the American ears, that we will not rest till China returns all Indian territory, which they have captured illegally. Then there's something. But we are all the time adjusting to see that, you know, we are seen as, you know, mingling with the best and so on. That's not the way your national interests can be protected. I think we missed a great opportunity in not identifying China, not on the question of Ukraine, because the Chinese are very clever. They are doing it through the Russians. Put China on the defensive, and you would have had an international in the democratic country. After all, we are a democratic country. The Quad is a democratic country. The Chinese BRICS or whatever, they're not dominated by democratic countries. So we must understand that the bottom line should be that we, when the chips are down, we are with the democratic countries. We may disagree with them, we may abuse them, we may disagree, you know, tell them what they're doing is wrong. But the fact is that when it comes to China and Russia, India has an obligation for India's sake to be on the side of democratic countries in the world.
Dr. Swami, just one point about this China thing. Do you think a global forum like G20 has a scope for bilateral issues?
It's not a bilateral issue. It's one of the things which is disrupting the. After all, what do the Americans? Why was Ukraine? Ukraine is not even a member of the G20. This is a moral question. And if you are going to be members, both of us are going to be members, China and India, and China then gobbles up our territory, we should use that forum to say, we are not going to break it, we are not going to walk out or kick the Chinese out or move a resolution to expel China. No, no, none of that. But we have to say that is that the Chinese must withdraw from Indian territory.
Dr. Swamy,
but then this point could have been made even for the Indonesia G20 summit.
Of course.
But also India did not admit or mention.
No, India didn't. He went running to go and shake his hand while he was standing like a
right.
fish.
Right.
You see? There is a problem. I want to know why India is so subservient to China. What is it that Chinese have on us that most of our leaders and ministers, they all crawl before the Chinese? There's something wrong there. And I think the country should now start asking Mr. Modi, please start talking about recovering our territory and ask the Chinese to get out. You see, that's what I'm saying.
Sri Iyer, you wanted to say something. Sri
yes, Iyer. Yes. Dr. Swamy, I don't know if you have been following news recently coming out of Canada. There is a possibility, real possibility, that the Trudeau government may fall because there has been an established connection of Trudeau having received, I believe, an amount of $8 million from the Chinese. And this is something to do with rigging the election, the recently concluded 2021 elections. And why I'm saying this, still, investigation is going on. The penetration of China into Western democracies is very deep, sir. And I'm afraid India might also have been penetrated. I don't know. You are closer to this than I am. Certainly, geographically, India is closer to China than Canada and United States. Things are becoming really messy right now, Dr. Swamy, when Canada, the country of its size, has to deal with or explode $8 million suddenly appear into Trudeau's trust. This is still developing, by the way. I'll be having an update in the next couple of days. So this begs the question, what are all the things that China can do to adversarial countries? So,
you're finished. I'm sorry, I don't want.
No, I'm just trying to say one limited point I'm trying to make is every country, Western country, is still trying to get its hands around how much its own internal systems have been compromised. And I'm not sure US knows it either. Please go ahead, sir.
The question is, as far as India is concerned, I know the extent. When Deng Xiaoping was there, there was Chiang Kai-shek, for give you an example, he opened the Kailash Mansarovar route, which for 50 years was shut down and nobody was allowed to go. And just one request from me and he agreed to do it. So there was an attempt, there was an atmosphere at that time of wanting to befriend India. Then when they came in 1996, when Narasimha Rao was there and I was called to the meeting, the Chinese said, if we are going to be friends, then let us sit down and decide. And for the moment, without any commitment, we draw a LAC. And the LAC, will be not with anyone with guns standing there. That's why in Galwan, we had to use fisticuffs and so on. So that was a thing to solve the problem. But once Xi Jinping has come, you know how he treated Hu Jintao in the meeting there. Yeah, the whole country, the whole world saw it, and he had arranged for it, the whole world to see it through a camera. So he is of a different mindset. And he thinks that India is nothing. And he has come very deep into Arunachal. He has come into Ladakh. He has got ships on the Indian Ocean. He is was part of the setup in the port in Gujarat, of Adani's. And he was the one who recommended Adani also to the Chinese, to the Israelis, to give him also a harbor. It was not a great achievement of Mr. Adani. It was a recommendation of China, which was already having a port in Haifa. And so we are, the more we start talking to them in a conciliatory tone without mentioning what they have grabbed us. They continue in all their publications to say India is enjoying the imperialist capture of China and we will liberate every inch of it and so on. But we have not said anything. I'm asking you, what's the difficulty in telling them that we have to solve this? Even in the conference, you can say that there are a lot of disputes amongst our member countries and we must try to settle it peacefully, blah, blah, nothing. But we haven't done that. We haven't raised it at all. And on the contrary, we go running to shake hands with them when he gives you a cold stare, which was there for all to see. That's what I'm saying. What is this hold of the Chinese on some Indian politicians that we seem to be afraid of them? I can understand why Congress leaders are complicit, see? There's a background. I won't go into that. But what is our background? We are supposed to be Hindutva. And our Bharat Mata is being amputated left, right, and center, and we are keeping quiet.
You have a point, Dr. Swami. It's difficult for me to answer what is essentially internal matter of the BJP party. You certainly have more insights into that than I do. And clearly, there are unexplained answers. I will not make... Sir, I'm not taking a brief for Mr. Modi. You know that I criticize him left, right, and center. So it is all I'm trying to say is, from an optics exercise, this is what he's wanted to do because there's an election. Everything today is election-based, sir. You want to send somebody to jail, that will also be election time.
I'll stop you here. I don't blame Mr. Modi. I blame myself and my colleagues. We are not there going and telling him on his face, this you can't do. Please attack the Chinese. They have occupied our territory. I've said this to Rajnath. I've said to so many people. Why is it that you can't go and tell him, all right, you don't do it the way I do, because I have no forum in the BJP today. So therefore, I use the media. So if they give me a forum, I'll do it from inside the forum. But since they have kept me out of all the forums, therefore, I am free to say what I like. But these people meet him on a daily basis. What's the difficulty in them telling him that no, this can't be this thing. It is Bharat Mata's amputation. We can't agree. And, it'll all end up like Nehru. They should be telling him. I don't blame him. He thinks he's doing a wonderful Machiavellian job on dealing with China. It's a master stroke. This is a common word that is used all the time. Master stroke, you see. I would prefer mistress stroke because they are more passionate when they decide to take revenge, you see, women. I want this to be clarified. The Chinese have occupied your territory and they are not admitting it. The other day, some police conference took place in the Ladakh and they said out of some 30 odd police posts, the Chinese have already captured 16 of them. And there wasn't any contradiction. I filed a question in Parliament, why, how much area has been taken by the Chinese? And it was pathetic. They said, no, it involves national interest, so it can't be disclosed. Why? What is the national interest in not disclosing? But these are things that nobody is questioning, you see. And that's why I say the country must start now asking Mr. Modi, please explain what is your stand on China. And if you can't, tell us what's your majburi, as they say in Hindi. What is your commitment? What is it that the Chinese, what hold does the Chinese have on you that you are not able to say this? People have died, in Ladakh and other places, trying to defend Indian territory. And you have handed, Galwan has gone completely to the Chinese now.
So, Dr. Swami,
certainly good question, sir.
One second. It's difficult. One second, Ashley. Yeah, I just ahead. Had a quick thing. Dr. Swami, as far as India is concerned, the more they continue to be silent about China, China's occupation, China's going to say, yeah, you already accept. I mean, basically, you're not saying anything because you're accepting it. So we're going to occupy more. So at what point in time are we going to say no? Because if they occupy another 1,000 kilometers, I'm just saying 1,000 square kilometers, what is Deshankar going to say? Oh no, India, China has a bigger economy. Keep on saying, at what point in time are you going to say, okay, it's going to hurt our economy? There's one question one viewer said, if China-India trade deficit is $100 billion. So if we attack China, what will be the impact? I think there is a difference, because the most important part is you first establish that in a forum like G20, as you said, it's an opportunity. You don't do it in any other forum. You don't do it at the UN. You don't do it even at a regular press conference. You don't want to acknowledge the fact that China has occupied the territory. Take the first step and accept and acknowledge saying that China has occupied 10,000, 4,000 square kilometers, 5,000 square kilometers. Say what it is and says, we are going to do something about it. Or tell the Chinese, you move back, or we're going to do something about it. So why isn't this statement forthcoming? As you said, there could be, is there a compromise? A bunch of people within the government that are preventing this to happen?
Sri Iyer should answer this.
Okay. Sri Iyer, why are they not doing it?
Yeah, let me turn this thing around, Dr. Swami. This is the chance for the opposition in India to put Modi on the mat. Why isn't Congress opening its mouth? Let me finish, sir. Samajwadi Party, they are a border state. Why are they not asking? Bihar, Nitish Kumar, why is he not asking?
Yeah, they're not asking.
Also quiet.
But the Congress certainly should ask. There's a national party.
Yeah.
And, I don't even know whether Akhilesh knows where the borderline is of India. So, I mean, they are not parties which have national issues at all. There's no national issue on which they have got nitty-gritty of their caste combination and so on. I would say the national party is Congress. And all this has happened from days of Jawaharlal Nehru today. So it's a Congress which should do. But I can give it to you in writing that Congress will never, never take a hard line on China.
Dr. Swami,
is that the same reason Modi is not also taking a hard line on China?
Dr. Swami, let me ask you a simple question, sir. You have seen the Congress party for many years now.
Yes.
Show me somebody who has the same kind of intellectual heft like you do in BJP.
Sri, why are you asking a question for which you already know the answer?
No. I am asking because, see, if you want to come to a game, you know, if you're going to play a cricket match, you got to have pads and gloves. If you don't have it, then basically you've lost the game before you'd even started.
Intellectual is not the problem. The problem is courage. Which intellectual has a spine in BJP. That's what you have to ask.
The courage. Nobody has the courage. Leave alone the fact.
I say that some of them have suffered because they made a small criticism. They lost their ministership. And now, they're just hounded. In my case, you see, because of my background and then this Hindutva crown that I have got, they are under difficulty going after me.
Dr. Swami, they will have more hell to pay if they send you out. Let me put it this way. They'll have more hell to pay if they send you out. I'd rather have you in.
I don't want to repeat an American saying on this because it will be not permitted under the censorship rules of our program.
But Sri, I think you put out, or I do see somewhere, some news, I think it was on Twitter, I don't know if I can validate it, that the US is moving arms into Nepal, Tibet, some area. I've recently seen somewhere. I don't know if it's true or not, okay? So, I'm just going back to the question that's just being on the screen that Chandrasekhar is asking. So, Dr. Swami, will the US support? Because obviously, you have said this in the past, nothing is free. What's in it for me, correct?
I agree. No, listen, as far as if you're going to want to have a decent, respectable relationship with the United States, then you will have to change many of our personnel. This, both Doval and this Jayshankar, they should be sent home because they cringe before foreigners. And the Americans are the first ones. Americans like stooges a lot, but they don't respect them. So therefore, if you want to Americans, you do give and take. You tell the Chinese Americans that I will take on the Chinese. You just give me the weapons I need. And the Americans will just give you everything.
It's not that they never made this offer. They made this offer when they wanted to pull out of Afghanistan. They said, take over Afghanistan. We'll give you all the weapons you want, including those which you won't have to use in Afghanistan. But that time the minister was Nirmala Sitharaman. She gave all the long speeches about non-alignment and peace and so on to them. And they went away in disgust. So it's a clarity that's required. The Americans, you know, it's all give and take. There is no morality and history or any of these things. You deal with them. I had dealt with the Americans for the brief period when Chandrasekhar was there and Mr. Arvind Chaturvedi was there with me in the Commerce Ministry. And all I did was tell the Americans they could fly their planes from Philippines to, jet flight flights of their Air Force from Philippines. And we'll refuel it for them. Yes. Everybody was up in arms at that time. I remember Sharad Pawar condemned us for it. Ajit Gandhi, who supported us, told me, you are doing it, so I'm not going to publicly say anything, but still try to close the matter as fast as you can. There was this huge network of the Russians who went whoop on it. See. But the Americans did everything. They told the IMF, give them $2 billion in of that period.
1991.
Conditions.
Yes.
So the Americans can do all this, but they're going to know that you're going to stand with them, not that you'll take something and then buzz off, you see.
Arun ji, aap se ek sawal hai.
Yes.
Modi ji ne kaha tha ek meeting mein ki ab koi इंडिया के टेरिटरी में ऑक्यूपाई करेंगे, हम लोग लाल आंख दिखाएंगे. अभी लाल भी नहीं है, आंख भी नहीं है. आप कुछ बता सकते हैं इसके ऊपर? अभी कहां है वो लाल आंख?
लाल मोदी जी लाल झंडे से डरते हैं, लाल झंडे से डरते हैं, लाल आंख का सवाल ही नहीं है.
चीन का जो झंडा है वो भी लाल है, तो
नहीं अरविंद, इसलिए मैं कह रहा हूँ कि अभी वो लाल
एक हमारे बीएचएस के कार्यकर्ता ने बताया था कि जब मोदी जी गुजरात के मुख्यमंत्री थे और चाइना जाने वाले थे, तो उन्होंने अपना विजिटिंग कार्ड लाल रंग का छपवाया था, उसमें चाइनीज में अपना नाम लिखा हुआ था.
और फिर भी
चीनी भाषा में.
हाँ, और वो स्पोर्ट्स कॉम्प्लेक्स भी बनाने वाले थे ना वो, कुछ चाइना के साथ निकालने के साथ, वो गुजरात में.
गुजरात में.
अरविंद जी, लेट मी फ्लिप दिस अराउंड. इसमें क्या गलती है सर जी? ही इज मार्केटिंग ए स्टेट. इसमें क्या गलती है?
रमेश का प्रश्न था कि लाल आग क्यों नहीं दिखा रहे, इसलिए मैंने कहा शायद उन्हें लाल रंग से डर लगता है.
ठीक है आश्री, आप बताइए ना, लाल आग क्यों नहीं दिखा रहे?
नहीं मुझे पता नहीं, मैं क्या बोल सकता हूँ, मैं तो आपके साथ हूँ इसमें सर जी. बात ये है, आई टेल यू वन सिंपल थिंग, बिकॉज वी आर ट्राइंग टू कनेक्ट सम डॉट्स हियर, लेट मी कनेक्ट द डॉट्स इन माय ओन वे. डॉक्टर स्वामी, आई थिंक इंडिया हैज नॉट फाउंड अ काउंटर टू प्रिवेंट चाइना फ्रॉम टेकिंग डाउन योर पावर ग्रिड. जस्ट थिंक अबाउट दिस. Okay, there is a convention going on, there are thousands of delegates, and China made just bling, pull the power down and plunge the entire G20 conference into darkness. India is not sure.
They did it in Bombay and said that, you know, we can do it in the whole country.
Yes.
By the way, there was one talk about somebody's saying, what about the exports and imports that we're having with China? How are we going to compensate for it? First of all, India only exports raw materials. Chinese export all their manufactured goods. And it is 10 to 1. They export 10 to 1, 10, and we export to them 1. So we are in a great deficit. Huge deficit, you see.
And I've said this earlier also, our pharmaceutical industry depends 90% on Chinese input.
Yes.
One day, if China decides to stop the export of the inputs from China to India, our pharmaceutical industry will collapse.
So, Dr. Swami, may I make an out of the field suggestion here, sir? One second, one thing. If Modi really has intent of becoming Atmanirbhar Bharat, he needs to bring in all the CMs, especially the ones who think that no end of their own, bring them into a room, bash their heads and say, I tell for India, you start this company, you don't put any impediments, make sure not even a a fly goes over this compound, make sure that things happen. That is what needs to be done, sir. First, clean house internally.
Make sure that you can do what you want. Shri, you have to understand. For him to do that, he cannot command this respect because he's not built that such a respect with the people.
His mental framework is not in terms of equality.
Consensus.
So find someone who can get their respect, sir. Find someone who can get their respect.
No. He thinks he can control them by having a raid or something like that. I mean,
every third day there's a raid, Sri. How do you expect you're going to have consensus from the opposition leaders? He thinks the only way to subjugate the opposition is by ED raids and CBI raids. It's nonsensical. We're just going back into a silent emergency or undeclared emergency at this point in time.
Yes.
But I think we're digressing from the topic. Dr. Swami, but at the end of the day, this G20 summit, has it raised India's stature is the key. But with no new agreement in place, is just another, eyewash, just another run-of-the-mill, like a tourist visit. I mean, that's ended up, that's how I would sum it up. Sri, do you want to sum it up so that we can conclude?
Yes, I agree with you that not much is going to happen, but not much was expected. The expectations were set low because of the previous G20 conference. This is not going to happen. The way this thing is going to move forward is when the Russia-Ukraine conflict stops. Right now, whatever we can say, the world is arrayed against itself. There are people taking sides covertly or overtly. The whole thing is around that. And that is what is the key. In my opinion, this is a draw, but then it was expected to be a draw. That's how I see it. Thank you.
But a lost opportunity, Sri. Arvindji.
Always. Arvindji, on that, 100% I'm in agreement with you. India never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
Let me say one thing.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I would say that if there is a different leadership in China, India should befriend China. And China, of course, has to reciprocate on the same basis. So I'm not anti-Chinese in the sense that never again, they are all crazy people. They eat cockroaches and all the usual things that we used to hear doing after the 1962 war. We should have good relations with China the way the Americans have. The Americans continue to have good relations with China. And essentially, the world has India, China, United States. In terms of GDP numbers, I'm not talking about per capita numbers. I'm talking about GDP, aggregate GDP numbers. GDP numbers, population numbers, India and territorial. India, China, United States are 1, 2, and 3. And India can easily overtake China. There is no difficulty at all. Just the right economic policy is necessary. When people used to say that Hindu rate of growth is 3.5% per year during Jawaharlal Nehru's time, people used to think that you can't grow faster than 3.5. Narasimha Rao showed that you can grow at 8% in 5 years, you see. So the same way I can say that if you grow at 10% per year in your GDP for 10 years, you are already overtaken China.
Dr. Swami, I think we are getting back to that Hindu rate of growth. Right now it's 4.4. We will hit that 3.5 very soon.
Yes. I just want to make one point, Dr. Swami, to comment. Former finance minister of Mamata Banerjee, Dr. Amit Mitra, has recently tweeted about Jaishankar. And he says in 2008, he was negotiating for the nuclear deal on behalf of Congress as a joint secretary in the Ministry of External Affairs. And the moment he crossed over and joined BJP, he has become a blue-eyed boy of BJP. And that time he was abusing BJP, and now suddenly has become the most favorite person in BJP, dealing the foreign policy on behalf of BJP.
Well, first of all, Amit Mitra was my student, you know that.
I know that,
In Delhi school, and later on as my
Dr.
junior.
Dr. Swami, off late, the Congress is taking up your whatever you've been saying slowly. They're using what you've been saying all along. We can start seeing the tweets.
They are bankrupt. I have nothing against Congress. If one family departs for Italy, after that, I'll be friends with Congress. There'll be no question about it. So I was with Rajiv Gandhi, very close friend of Rajiv Gandhi.
Nation first people next.
And Narasimha Rao.
minus this Italian component, I have no problem with the Congress. So the, anyway, what I'm saying is this, that the issue today is not people of the other parties helping you or supporting you. Issue is, you tell me what your policy is. Vishwaguru is not a, you know, Vishwaguru anyway was never meant for an individual. It was meant for the nation. Okay. Second, your growth rate is pathetic, you see. And unemployment growing. And all this is blacked out by this spin and the collapse of our Indian media. Our media is a completely collapsed. Today, all that we have, which is there, some honesty, is this kind of program that we are doing and others are doing. So, therefore, the short answer to your question is that we need to speak out more openly and clearly. And perhaps in the process, due to in certain developments, events, the Prime Minister might start listening to what we are saying.
Dr. Swami, one last point, and Arvindji, you can conclude. I mean, this was a very valid point made by own guy. Jaishankar is a bureaucrat. He has never stood in an election. He doesn't know how to win the confidence of the people. If he stands, even in Gujarat, anywhere, let us say, Ahmedabad, Baroda, Vadodara, wherever he I don't think people will vote for him. So he doesn't understand what it politics is different for him because he's a bureaucrat. He has zero knowledge about how politics and people work for him. Obviously, Modi prefers to keep people in from bureaucracy with him so that he can control and whatnot because everything is getting done through the PMO. They don't have leaders, even though they have few people. I don't want to mention them. I don't want to get them fired tomorrow. But anyway, because when you mention something on this program, it goes all the way up and speak and attest to that as well. Whatever we discussed here is getting seen up there. Poor leaders who are really performing in this, very few who are performing in this government, who have a real people knowledge, who know how what the people think, are not allowed to do certain decisions. But we have people like bureaucrats who jump in, parachute in, who have no clue as to how real politics and armed janta works, are taking decisions. And this is what we get. You put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. Pretty much it. Arvindji, if you have anything to say, otherwise Arvindji can conclude.
No, yeah, I'm done.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Swami. Thank you, Shri Ayerji. I mean, this is an issue which does not bother maybe a common person in the street, but naturally the foreign policy of a country decides the future of the country globally. And Narendra Modi government has been trying to encash the leadership of G20 since last December. And I'm sure it will go on before the G20 leadership is handed over. This is only 1 year and this is by rotation. So naturally it is not a permanent thing. But the way they are spending money on popularizing the leadership, that India has become Vishwaguru almost just by becoming a G20 leader for 1 year. I think they will continue and they will try to, even if, as Sri Ayer says, it is not successful and it is not expected to be successful, though we still have about 6 months to go for the final summit to be held in September. But foreign ministers meeting and the finance ministers meeting indicate that it is not going to be successful from India's perspective or India's policy point of view. And therefore, it is only for BJP to utilize it as much as possible in terms of marketing effort. And I'm sure when the major elections are due in December for some state assemblies, maybe if by that time the Ram Temple is ready, or before that time Ram Temple is ready, maybe Modi will prepone the 2024 election by a few months in order to coincide and encash before it hands over to any other country in the G20 leadership.
He had nothing to do with the Ram Temple, by the way.
But he's trying to encash.
He's
doing the best marketing for BJP, and all those things which he has not done, he has been stealing the credit, and including putting his name on the Motera Stadium in Ahmedabad or Sardar Patel Stadium in Ahmedabad, sorry, not Hyderabad, Ahmedabad. So we say that whatever meetings that we had so far, that it is not really successful, and it was not expected to be successful looking at the 20 members of the G20 countries, including some invitees and all that, because of Ukraine-Russia war. Ukraine is not a member. Nobody is openly siding with Russia, and therefore this confrontation was bound to arise. Thank you very much, Ramesh. Thank you very much, ARG, once again, Dr. Swami, and the technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Tejas, Vishal Mehta, and Ajesh Nair. We'll be meeting next Sunday once again with a new topic, Dr. Subramanian Swami, and a new speaker. Till then, namaskar, Jai Hind. Mm-hmm.